Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you with us here on this Tuesday evening. Hopefully you had a great weekend and you got to take in a race at your local track. If not, hopefully you got to watch some exciting racing on television, which we did get to see between the nationwide race and also the Sprint Cup race at Richmond. The truck race out of Kansas on Sunday, which was kind of weird because they ran the IndyCar race on Saturday. And you would think maybe the IndyCars with the big kahuna would be running on Sunday, but no, they ran on Saturday for whatever reason they did that. But some pretty good races there. And, of course, for the IndyCar, that was their tune-up for the Indianapolis 500. We will be talking about that later on. We'll also be talking with Sarah Fisher, who will be, of course, running at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway shortly. Well, I have Chris Dyson stop by from the American Le Mans Series to talk about his Dyson Racing team and also the green initiative the American Le Mans Series has. Rick Crawford, he was not racing, at least in the 14 truck, in Sunday's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race, and we're going to talk to him exactly why. But as we said, well, it's kind of a special month right now. Bring May flowers, but the month of May brings the Indianapolis 500, and to talk about it, who else but from SpeedTV.com, Robin Miller. Robin, welcome.
Larry, you know, we're due for some snow in May, not just showers. It's been a while.
Well, I do remember snow in 1996 at the inaugural ill-fated U.S. 500 out of Michigan International Speedway.
Oh, yeah.
The weekend before the race itself, I was standing by Bill Mears, Rick's dad, and I heard him go yellow, and I turned to him and I said, did I just hear they went yellow because of snow? And he said, yes. So anything is possible when you're involved with racing. But the month of May, it's not the month of May I grew up with. It has changed dramatically over the years and changed even more this year. I was looking at my calendar to come down for pole weekend, and suddenly I realized it was a week later and there was only one weekend, and lots of things have changed.
You know, the fact that there's only 2 days of qualifying is probably good. At least it ramps up a little bit of the energy level, I think, because there's only going to be 40 cars going for 33 spots. You don't need 4 days for that. But the good old days that you and I remember are never going to come back, and they're trying this 24-9 qualifying thing, you know, or the 24 the first day, 9 the second day, and then they're going to lock the fast 9 in and go for the pole. And it's like I told the new CEO, Randy Bernard, look, you understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to generate some excitement. But if the pole paid $1 million, Larry, then the risk would equal the reward. I'd go out and bust my butt trying to make. But if it pays $175,000 and you're Dennis Reinbold's team and you're in the top nine, what are you going to go out and wad a car up for? You're not going to do it.
No, absolutely not. And the one thing that kind of bothers me about it is that they've locked everyone in. You've got to go back out if you want to go for the pole, and how many are going to do that? And we've already seen them do it. Look at Penske and look at Ganassi. They're pulling cars in and out of line left and right on pole day.
Yeah, they don't have to be told.
No.
Plus, if I'm Dennis Reinbold and they order me back out there and I'm Justin Wilson's ninth fastest, I go out and run two laps at 150 miles an hour and come in and say the fuel pump pitch. Sorry, we're done.
Yeah, I understand that they're trying to do things, but again, I'm a throwback. I'm a Neanderthal. You start getting away from complete tradition, it ticks people off. I think NASCAR did that for a long time, and it ticked people off. They want to see racing. The pole doesn't mean what it used to when we were young. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you start. Yeah, it's kind of nice. I think they should really only have maybe 3 days of practice before they have their 1 weekend of qualifying. They don't need a whole week. I mean,
no.
That's a waste of time.
Sure it is.
And a lot of these teams can only get, you know, pay for an engine lease for 1 weekend anyway, for a few days. They can't run that many miles on it. So why not do that? But, you know, I don't know. I guess you got to try something, but I'm not sure this is it.
Well, it's just, look, if you're going to hang your butt out to make the top nine, then you're going to go right back out and do it. I mean, it's just, nobody's got, you know, even Roger Penske doesn't have full sponsorship right now. I mean, so you're in a very tenuous situation with your equipment and everything, and you're going to be running Texas, you know, 5 days after the Indy 500. You better be smart about how many cars you got and how much money isn't in the paddock.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of these smaller teams obviously don't have the money coming to Indianapolis, never have had the money. In the days where, you know, 50, 60 cars showed up are long gone with the cost that's coming in, because you're going to spend, what, $250,000, even if, you know, you're car number 33?
Oh, I think all that, Larry. By the time you pay your tire bill and your engine, I mean, that, yeah, and it, I think every bit of that. But, well, you know, you didn't have, I guess the thing that bothers you and I the most is you didn't have to fabricate 25 and 8 or 24 and 9 or 9 guys going for the pole. You didn't have to do any of that because Indy had its own magic, and just making the race was a huge accomplishment. You know, there was a race for the pole, a race just to make the show, and then the race itself. It was three huge events during the month of May.
Well, and bump day isn't what it used to be, because when I was younger, and I remember this very well, with Jack Rhodes, a team out of Columbus, Indiana, that I knew very well because I was working in Columbus, Indiana at the time doing radio. That's how I met Chip Ganassi, because Chip originally drove for them as a rookie at Indy. And he bought a car from Pat Patrick in the qualifying line, one of the Wildcats, and put Dennis Firestone in it. Guy had never been in the car before, went out and qualified. That's what it used to be. You jumped in cars and stuff. It wasn't, you know, you got three chances today, three chances tomorrow to qualify.
I mean, it mocks the very tradition, and all the guys that lost their lives or got banged up trying to make the Indy 500, it really does them a disservice. You know, I just laugh when I heard those guys the last couple of years talk about IndyCar pressure. First of all, there's 33 cars, and secondly, you get 12 chances. What kind of pressure is that?
Yeah, the 12. If you can't make it in 12 chances, you don't deserve ever to race again.
Right.
I'm a throwback. I gotta, you know, try to get with the modern era. There's got to be some things that maybe they can do, but I'm not so sure. I think my biggest problem, I've even said this about NASCAR, they have no heroes.
Well, the thing about NASCAR is they have a lot of loyal fans who have picked the guys they like. In IndyCar racing, we've got Danica Patrick and Castroneves, and that's about it. Graham Rahal should be, but he didn't have a ride. Ryan Hunter-Reay should be, but his ride may be over after Texas. So there's just a lot of things that IndyCar, I mean, I don't even know where you start. There's so many things that they need, and, you know, it's American drivers, cheaper cars, more exciting cars, newer cars, more manufacturers. You know, look everywhere you look, that's what they need.
Time with Robin Miller from SpeedTV.com here on Pit Pass USA. And Robin, what do you see for the 2 weeks of May coming up? To me, it looks like, from an outsider, Penske Ganassi, okay, they're going to battle it out, and maybe you might see someone else along the way. I don't know whether Andretti Autosport gets their act completely together when they come to the Speedway or not, but it looks like, you know, the big two again, and everybody else is there unless something happens to those five cars, the three with Penske and the two with Ganassi.
Well, you know, I don't see Ganassi and Penske have won the last 14. They've won every oval race the last 2 years. I don't see that changing. Could Tony Kanaan and Ryan Hunter-Reay, Marco Andretti, Danica, could they sneak in there? Sure, lots of things can happen in Indy, and pit stops and wing angles and traffic. There's lots. It's not just like one of those cookie-cutter mile-and-a-half tracks. That's what I like about Indy still. You still have to drive the car. Last year, the KV Racing team was really fast, and I'm hopeful Paul Tracy might have a shot to sneak in there and have a good race, because those cars were fast again over the weekend, but they got a bunch of guys driving them that don't really know where they're going yet. So I would say not a whole lot of surprises. Graham Rahal qualified fourth last year, but, I mean, he's going to run for his dad, but, you know, they haven't run a race all year, so, I mean, I don't see how they can be much of a factor. So if you got one or two KV cars, one or two Andretti cars, and then the usual five suspects on Penske and Ganassi, that's about it. So when the announcer on television tells you that anybody could win this race, you say, sure they can, with a 20-car pileup.
Yeah, and That's been known to happen before at Indianapolis. We have seen that. Very quickly, I want to ask you, what do you think of the new CEO? I know he's talked to everybody and brought people in. I know he's talked with you. He's talked to a lot of other journalists. At least it seems that he is listening, whether his ideas are the right ones or not. At least he's listening.
I don't think I've ever been more impressed with somebody right off the bat than I have Randy Bernard. He asks a lot of important questions and pertinent questions. He's got a lot of common sense for a guy. I mean, he asks the first night. I try to have dinner with him once a week because he lives about 3 minutes from me, and he's full of ideas. And whether or not the sisters will let him execute them, we'll have to see. But he's got some really good ideas about purses and racetracks and where to start the season and where to end the season and how early to get started. I mean, he's really on top of things. And you know, people are like, well, you know, what's he done? Well, he's trying to get a lay of the land, figure out who he can trust, what needs, you know, what his priorities are. He shouldn't have to worry about new rules, new engines, and new cars. That should have been done 2 years ago. But Brian Barnhart and Les McTaggart are so incompetent, they had no clue. So now he's trying to figure out what they're going to be having at the Speedway for the next 10 years or so. So it's a huge, this set of rules is probably the most important set of rules that are going to be written in my lifetime anyway. And you really got to nail them, and you got to try and make sure that they're the right thing to do, and you got to see how many manufacturers you can lure into this thing, because that's the only way this thing's going to recover. You know yourself from the 90s, Larry, when CART was in its heyday, you had four engine manufacturers, five chassis manufacturers, two tire companies. Everybody had money.
Yeah, they did. And you kind of touched on it there with what he is facing, because we know the workings inside, and there's a lot of incestuous relationships within the organization that, you know, one group feeds on one group and kind of takes care of each other. And, I mean, it's a lot of people they have their own little cliques, their own little agendas going on in there. Does he have enough time, even if he's sharp enough, to turn it around and weed all that out? Or is it one of those that it's an uphill battle that maybe he can't win?
Well, I mean, he keeps telling people he's going to have to make a difference in 2 years and they need to get rid of him. I said, quit saying that. If you can make a difference in 4 years, it'll be amazing. I mean, Tony George did a lot of damage in 15 years, and now, you know, he's out and a lot of his cronies are out. And if they can weed a few more of the Tony George regime out and completely purge it, and then he can start all over and maybe get some people in there like Tony Kotman, then we've got a chance to turn this thing around. But it's not going to be overnight, and it's not going to be easy.
No, it's not. And again, all the money seems to be winding up also over in NASCAR, where they've got the people attending, even though their attendance is down and their TV ratings are down some.
Don't forget, they had a 4.9 the other day at Talladega. Last year's Indy 500 was a 4.2.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at Talladega, and, you know, I don't know. I think there's some problems there with going on what's going on in TV overall, and I think people are just burned out, to be honest.
Probably.
With you.
Probably.
I just think they're burned out. But it's going to be interesting, a different look to the month of May and also IndyCar, and, you know, I'm going to cross my fingers and also try to get over of living in the past all the time. I'm still with the wooden garages. And
well, wear your Jim Herterby shirt and show up.
Oh, we could bring out the Roadster and throw ice down a couple of cases in it again, couldn't we? We are old, Robin.
Sure we are.
But I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks when I head down to 16th and Georgetown.
All right, Larry, sounds like fun.
That is Robin Miller from SpeedTV.com. The reference to Jim Herterby's once upon a time when he was still trying to qualify the Roadster back in the garage. He had the Roadster sitting in the garage, the old wooden garages at Indianapolis. Car looked great. The thing was, when you popped the hood cover on it, there was beer in it. It was all iced down. Herterby's was great, and I am old. There's no question about that. Well, next up, we'll continue to talk about the Indianapolis 500 with a driver owner, Sarah Fisher, next on Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
what's it like behind closed garage doors, where the decisions are made that change motorsports? You'll find out on The Race Reporters, because host Michael Knight has been there. He's a 40-year industry insider and award-winning writer and publicist. Each week, Knight brings together the country's top journalists and newsmakers, and their insights will make you a better race fan. The Race Reporters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at larryhenry@pitpassusa.com. That's larryhenry@pitpassusa.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
500, not that far down the road, and one of the faces that's going to be there, and she has come a long, long way since her first start back at the age of 19 at the Indianapolis 500. She now has her own IndyCar team, and joining me now is Sarah Fisher. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Congratulations first, though, on having your own IndyCar team, and also congratulations and kudos to what you have done this year when you put Graham Rahal in the car for a few races on road courses. I think that says a lot about you and where your team is headed, and I don't think a lot of people maybe have saluted that enough.
Well, thank you. I mean, we've had a wonderful time with it, and I really had a lot of fun. Graham's a great kid and, you know, certainly deserves a good opportunity. So it worked out well. Dollar General was happy, and it was a good couple events.
And now you're back in the car. Of course, you ran in Kansas this past weekend, not probably the finish that you wanted out there, but you got back in the car, you got on an oval, it got things going in the right direction, of course, for the big enchilada, the Indianapolis 500 coming up.
It was overall a pretty good weekend. I mean, you know, it was our first weekend back for myself driving and the first weekend for the 66 car team. You know, our first as a group putting two cars on track. So, you know, there was a lot of background things happening that, you know, I think worked really, really smooth. The guys did an excellent job, and, you know, we just didn't have a car that could turn in traffic, plain and simple. And so, you know, we have an idea of where we're going and what we need to do to rectify that, and we'll start off with a good month of May.
Sarah, this has been a whole process for you, first coming in as a driver at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and being involved in the IndyCar Series. In fact, you were the most popular driver 3 years for the series back in its earlier days, and now kind of developed your own team and slowly have grown that to where you actually did have two cars at the track in Kansas City and looking to do that. Can you talk a little bit about this entire process, how Sarah Fisher has changed from that 19-year-old a few years ago to where you are today as a team owner and driver?
Well, I think that would take a long time. you know, I even wrote a book about it. So, you know, it's just been a long time coming, and I've really grown up in front of the spotlight. And I think, you know, a lot of people maybe forget that, you know, at 19 years old, you're just a young kid. and I've learned a lot, but I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I think that's key. As long as every day that I can come into the shop here and I have a good time, I love the people I work with and who work for me, you know, it's well worth all the things that you shoulder.
Well, you obviously also learned along the way, not only on the racetrack, but away from it. You were taking in all the lessons that were available to you.
Yeah, you know, it's not just about on track, you know, and I think as an owner, I've found that out more than ever. But I knew that without being an owner yet, and knew that, you know, there's a whole other side of racing that's, you know, the business of it, and it operates just like any other business. It just has four wheels that rotate. So, you know, it's been really fun to work with partners who truly believe in us and to continue to build on, you know, who we are and what we're doing, and, you know, bringing on a partner like Service Central and having, you know, big corporate America really get behind us has been a real privilege, and to shadow those guys, you know, Orland Wolford there and Rick Dreiling both have been wonderful to me from a business side, and learning from, you know, what they've done even has been a blessing.
Yeah, the relationship you have with Dollar General has been a very solid one, and it's actually helped you move along in your career also on the ownership side. And when they stepped up with Graham Rahal, I thought that was great. Maybe I should applaud them too, because they had to fork out the money to allow you to do that. But that's great to have partners like that.
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, we didn't bring in any more revenue because of Graham Rahal. you know, that was a sole decision of my own. Dollar General did support it, though. You know, it was a part of their program that I was going to be in the car, and it was merely a substitution. So, you know, it wasn't like it increased our profitability or any margin. It was a sole decision about, you know, having performance and being out there to truly win races, not just to be there. And, you know, that's the existence of this race team, regardless of whether or not I'm in the seat. So, big picture, that was, you know, what we collaboratively came up with.
Time with Sarah Fisher here on Pit Pass USA, getting ready for the Indianapolis 500, of course, coming up at a different time. I'm an oldster. I talked to Robin Miller earlier, and he and I go way back to the dark ages of racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, back to the wooden garages and the roadsters and things like that. We're just old. We both decided that we're way old. But it is a different month of May this year, different from what really it's ever been. Only one weekend of qualifying. What does that do for you and your team going on? Does it change your thought process any?
Well, I think you've always had to be on your game for the Indy 500, but this year more than ever. I think there's, you know, over 40 cars already, you know, signed up to try and qualify. So on the entry list, it's going to be pretty tough, I think. So for only 2 days, if we get weather one of those days, you know, it's just, you're going to have to be on your game. You're going to have to roll off the trailer pretty close. And it's just going to be really important. And I think as an owner, there might have been an opportunity maybe to put a third car in if there had been 2 weeks of qualifying. You know, now it's our number one priority for both the 66 and 67 car to get them in and make that a solid effort.
And also on day one, it's the first 24 that's going to be locked in. It's not like, okay, if 33 make the run and they qualify. They're saying 24 and then 9 the next day. So you definitely want to get that done on day one no matter what happens.
Well, they still bump the slowest. So, you know, you still got to be fast. You know, I think, you know, we have a pretty decent shot at maybe making that top 9 shootout. I think that would be amazing. And, you know, maybe in the future they'll do even something like, you know, the cup cars do with the Bud shootout. That would be kind of fun. But we'll see. We just got to give it our all, give it our best every day and see how it shakes out.
Now, do you look for something like that? You talked about being in the top 9. And when I look at things right now, I take 5 cars immediately that I think are going to be competing for the pole. That's the 2 Ganassi and the 3 Penske, because it kind of works out that way a lot. But when you look at what I call the second-tier teams, everybody has kind of stepped up here, at least through the first several races of the season. Granted, the first 4 were on road courses where you can throw a lot of things out of the equation. And the Oval and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is different. But that second tier seems to be a lot closer than it was before.
It's close whether you're on a road course or an oval, you know, to have them qualify within, I think it was 2/10 at Kansas, it's unheard of, you know, and to only be a couple hundredths off dictating whether you're 10 spots forward or back, it's great. I think it shows how competitive the series is, and, you know, I think everybody's getting to the point where you're exercising your most outlandish ideas to get these cars faster and faster. But that's fun. That's the part of the sport that challenges us as engineers and as thinkers, and you know, being outside of the box is cool.
Sarah, obviously you don't go in any race planning on say finishing second, third, fourth, or fifth. But what's a good month of May for you and your two car team?
Absolutely, two top tens. Man, that would be amazing. I think I had my very best finish at the 500 last year. So, you know, it's one step at a time. It's getting better every year and growing our team. You know, it's more about my team and its big picture of survival and getting better and people and, you know, growing and equipment rather than myself. I mean, I'd rather have see this team go big picture and you know, be one of those top five guys.
But do you then have to play it a little more cautious when it comes race time? I mean, the Indianapolis 500 is a long one, and everyone's always talked about that. Wait till you get the last 100 miles or so before you really go racing. Yeah, I mean, you've got to stay in contention. But I remember Al Unser, when he won his fourth Indianapolis 500, he was a lap down in that race at one point in time. So you can do it from there, but it's kind of a pacing thing. Do you kind of play that strategy?
Well, you know, you always want to be up front the whole time. It, you know, it depends on where you start on the grid. Indy is a tough place to pass nowadays with these cars. So, you know, it's starting well on the grid. If you're starting towards the back, you run a different fuel strategy maybe. And depends on the weather, what's happening with storms. Or, you know, I think the best way to look at it is whoever's the most flexible and whoever can change and transition the quickest and the most efficient is going to be the overall winner.
And do you feel your team's pretty well set up to do that now that you've got the pieces to the puzzle in place?
Well, we're still working on building. I mean, you know, we just built out our engineering staff this year for the 66 car, and they can be on board the entire year. So that's a bonus. But I think, you know, from a strategy side, we're still working on that. I think that's an area that we can continue to look on and work towards. It's a team in growth. You know, this is only our, I think, 12th race this last weekend as a business. So, you know, we still have a lot to learn, but we're working really hard to get it done as soon as possible.
Well, Sarah, I know you've got a lot of people out there that are pulling for you to have a great month of May, not only for yourself, but for both of your cars at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I thank you for taking time out to talk with me.
No problem. Thank you.
Sarah Fisher. And it's really interesting to watch how she has changed and evolved over the years from the 19-year-old that came to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Of course, out of the USAC ranks back then, has adjusted, was out of IndyCar for a while, got back in, now has her own team, beginning to build things, and we'll see if some good things happen to her here in the month of May down at Indianapolis, which, as I said, and we really have talked to her about it, also Robin Miller earlier, it's a different animal with just one weekend of qualifying and the way they've got the pole set up and all the rest of this stuff. Just going to be interesting to watch what all happens there. Well, next up here on the program, we're going to turn our attention to road racing, the American Le Mans Series. We'll talk to Chris Dyson from Dyson Racing, and he's also part of an alternative fuel effort that the American Le Mans Series has. We'll talk to him next here on Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. From IndyCar Racing to Powerboats to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the US Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoors subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Everything motorsports. See it, breathe it, feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Well, it's still a couple of weeks away before the American Le Mans Series runs their third event of the season. It's going to be at a beautiful place out at Laguna Seca out in Monterey, California. And joining me now is the driver of the number 16 ARCO BP Mazda for Dyson Racing, Chris Dyson. Chris, welcome.
Larry, it's great to be on the show.
A couple of races into the season. First, last time out was at Long Beach, one of my favorite places to go. A nice run for you and the team as you settle in. First time, actually, for the ALMS that you had just the prototype division instead of like LMP1, LMP2. How did you like that?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, it's basically consecrating, a situation that that really, I think, you know, if you look at the racing in 2007 and 2008, the difference between LMP1 and LMP2 was really just nomenclature. And they've finally rebalanced the rules in such a way where LMP1 and LMP2 are on an even footing, and it's all under a single LMP class. I think it's better not only from a racing standpoint, but also for the fans and for the TV guys.
Do you find that also, I know on some of the tight circuits like a Long Beach in the past, the LMP2s were probably the car because of just their weight and, you know, the weight to power and all of that. Is the LMP1's a little bigger car, and on a tight circuit like that, they had a disadvantage. And it looked like, from what I saw out at Long Beach, that everybody was on a pretty even footing.
You know, you've got petrol cars, so you don't have any diesel cars out there. So that basically, you know, balances things quite a bit. You know, I think it's a work in progress, and IMSA, the sanctioning body for the LMS has shown, I think, a lot of, good flexibility over the years, and if there's any wide imbalances, I think that they'll address them quickly.
It's also kind of interesting the way the season starts out. You started several weeks ago, a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago when you were down at the 12 Hours of Sebring. Then you wind up out at Long Beach, which is a race that's, I believe, under 2 hours. And then you wind up out at Laguna Seca, one of my absolute favorite places to go, out at Mazda Raceway, where you're racing, I believe, 6 hours. Kind of a different kind of philosophy, isn't it, going into each one of these events?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, obviously, Larry, I mean, you know, the longer races, there's clearly the bonus point situation to consider, and that's obviously a concern, but the cars right now are so reliable, the modern LMP cars are so reliable that basically you're treating the race as a sprint, whether it's a 100-minute race or a 12-hour race. So, in the back of your mind, you know, when you know that you're in an endurance race, you know, you maybe don't take the do-or-die risk that you would in the 100-minute race. But in the grand scheme of things, the cars can accept, you know, sort of whatever pace you want to run them at nowadays. It's not like the old days where you really had to manage the car. So that puts a premium on us to exercise judgment while we're out there.
Does that change it for the driver then more, where you're not thinking about the equipment reliability as much? Say, okay, I've got to pace myself, where it's more, even if it's a six-hour race like Laguna's going to be, that it's more of a sprint race for you?
What we've found over the years is that the long-distance races have really just been races, endurance races, in distance only. I mean, you, the pace that you're running, you know, and the pace that you have to sustain to stay at the top level in the ALMS right now is so high that you really, you have to, your fitness, personal fitness, and you know, your sort of driver management through the race is paramount. And you know, because otherwise it's flat out. And I think everyone who comes up and sees us up at Mazda Raceway will be pretty impressed with the pace that these cars are able to run over 6 hours.
And no question about that. And you and Guy Smith, obviously enjoying the Lola Mazda that you're driving a couple of races in now.
Oh yeah, no, it's been phenomenal. I mean, Guy's been working with the team now for you know, this is his this is really the sixth season we've worked together, and we both agree that this is the best car we've ever had. You know, it's just so exciting. You know, we've got Dunlop on board this year as our tire partner, and we're developing you know, some fuels and lubricants for BP Castrol, you know, our primary sponsor. And you know, the reliability of the 2-liter, you know, Mazda MZR engine has just been fantastic. So we're pretty excited about what the rest of the season holds for us.
Time with Chris Dyson here on Pit Pass USA, co-driver with Guy Smith of the number 16 ARCO BP Mazda Lola in the America Le Mans Series. And you mentioned it, Chris, about the alternative fuels involved that BP is working on. You were named one of the five drivers of the America Le Mans Series Green Dream Team, which means that you will be involved being an ambassador for the Series Green initiatives at the racetrack. And one of those is what BP is doing, and it's isobutanol. Can you explain to people exactly what that is?
Well, isobutanol is it's a variation on the ethanol gasoline blend that we've been using as the standard fuel in the series, with the exception being that the alcohol component, if you will, is not only ethanol, but it's isobutanol. And isobutanol is a form of alcohol, actually, that is basically derived from more renewable sources. In other words, you know, switchgrass, you know, anything from switchgrass to tree bark, you name it. And what's interesting about isobutanol versus ethanol is that it has a higher energy content than ethanol by itself does, which makes it, you know, better fuel economy than an ethanol blend fuel. It also is it doesn't have a floor or a ceiling in terms of how much you can blend it with gasoline. Ethanol does. So, you know, the isobutanol, it has a lot of relevance for BP's future strategy in the marketplace. And I think another thing that's interesting about it is you don't need separate transportation infrastructure for it. You know, for instance, when we're using the isobutanol, we found that it's extremely kind to all of our, you know, fuel cells and fuel rails. And I think that's something that's going to benefit everybody in the world, really, in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
We used to look at racing as really a proving ground of technology for the cars that, well, I'll say Detroit, since that's the area where I live, that Detroit used to build. Kind of got away from that a little bit, but with these alternative fuels, it's back into the technology that I can use in my car, and this is one of them. You mentioned about the isobutanol, that it gives you better fuel mileage than what ethanol does, and we know that in the past, if you paired ethanol to gasoline, you had to use more gallons of ethanol to get the same kind of horsepower, but also the transportation, which was always a big question. How do we get it from point A to point B? You got to build the plants next door. You say the isobutanol is a different animal.
Well, it is, because it's you know, it's less prone to absorbing water than ethanol, straight ethanol, is. So it doesn't, you know, there doesn't have to be the segregation in the transport between ethanol and gasoline. So therefore, you know, you're using less energy ultimately to move, you know, to move and to blend your fuel sources, and you know, ultimately that's more green for the world. So yeah, there's some huge benefits to the isobutanol.
Chris, how involved are you with this one, with the America Le Mans Series Green Dream Team? That's a mouthful if you say it very quickly. And also BP going around and talking. And what's the reaction been from the fans?
I think it's been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, I've got to take my hat off to you know, the folks at the America Le Mans Series, and you know, for recognizing, you know, quite a long time ago that racing was going to have to be more relevant to maintain its position, and particularly in I think in this economy, as the economy has changed, everyone's looking at things with much more scrutiny in terms of R&D and marketing and where racing fits for the OEMs and I think that what the ALMS has done is that it's really, I think, taken the lead, and it's leading the conversation in terms of providing a platform where not only is the racing amazing, where the heritage of the sport, tracing back to Le Mans and all of our great sports car races in the U.S., not only are you embracing those things, but you're also saying racing still remains a proving ground and a place where the cutting edge can be brought out, an almost a laboratory-like environment, and given real-world results, for the benefit not only of the spectacle and the show, but also for science and for R&D for the automakers. So everybody kind of wins with the ALMS when it comes to the green initiatives. And, I'm just really honored to be out there, telling the story, because I think it's compelling, and I think that it repositions motor racing, back to its roots, which is being relevant and, leading the technologies that you're going to see brought to the road and, in the future.
Yeah, I remember the days when I used to go around racing all the time and look at the cars and see the differences and look at the new technology that came out, and that kind of went away as we got to more and more of a spec series in a lot of forms of racing. And with this initiative and the different things, I know when we have the Audis, we have the diesels, and now you've got this, you've got ethanol, I think you got the cellulosic that the Corvettes run. So there are different types of things going on, and it does make it relevant again.
Well, it does, and I think you see the fact that I think, like I said about the budgets, and everyone in the world is now looking for a place where they should be investing their money in their motorsports dollars. And I think where the ALMS has been interesting is that during this trough, if you will, in the sort of spending environment, the manufacturers have hung in with their ALMS investment. And you look across the board, it's the only series right now where there's a couple different platforms. You've got the prototypes, you've got the GTs, but where technology, variety, and innovation are truly embraced, and they're leading concepts. And you look across the board, we've got every prominent OEM, we've got all of the exotic cars, that people aspire to owning, out there battling it out. And it's the only series right now in the world with the amount of tire brands that we have competing. So you've got people that are making investment because they believe the story too, and certainly you can't argue with the crowd response. I go out, I talk about the ALMS, and everyone who's out there, you're from the layman to the hardcore fan, are excited about the direction that the series is going, and I'm just thrilled to be driving my Mazda out there. And not only is it the best looking car on the track, but it's also, I think in a lot of ways leading the conversation with fuels and also with a small displacement turbo engine.
Well, Chris, we wish you and your teammate Guy Smith the best of luck all season long. And we're going to be interested in following this green team effort and what all the American Le Mans series does. And hopefully a lot of the race fans will be too.
Well, we've got 9 races on our schedule, and we're just hopeful that the fans keep turning out to see us, because it's a great show.
That is Chris Dyson, Dyson Racing, the number 16 ARCO machine right now for the series. And again, he's part of that Dream Green team. Whew, I have trouble saying that and spitting it out, but they're really the American Le Mans series is using all sorts of alternative fuels and looking at various ways to make the series relevant. And a lot of companies are coming that way to look at it, including the car companies, to use that as a test ground with these alternative fuels in their engines. So it's kind of a neat thing they are doing. Well, for the final segment of the show, we're going to talk to a gentleman that was in a different truck for the first time since the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series began. That's Rick Crawford. We'll talk with him next here on Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on the Power of Motorsports Channel.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
Listen for the Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. It's an insider's look at America's fastest-growing motorsports series, the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series, presented by Crown Royal Cask No. 16. You'll hear about what happened last weekend and get a preview of what's coming up next. From the Rolex 24 at Daytona through Watkins Glen International, Mid-Ohio, Laguna Seca, right up to the championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. Broadcast live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
What's it like behind closed garage doors, where the decisions are made that change motorsports? You'll find out on The Race Reporters, because host Michael Knight has been there. He's a 40-year industry insider and award-winning writer and publicist. Each week, Knight brings together the country's top journalists and newsmakers, and their insights will make you a better race fan. The Race Reporters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
If you watched the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race on Sunday from Kansas Speedway and you were looking and going, something's not right here, well, it probably was. You were missing the 14 truck, Circle Bar Racing. Usually you see it out there with Rick Crawford on board. Now, Rick was in the race, but not in the 14 truck. And Rick joins me now. He was running actually in the 76 truck on Sunday. Rick, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Good. Okay, the world wants to know, why wasn't the 14 truck on the racetrack? 327 races in a row. It had been there, and it wasn't on Sunday. It was like we were missing a big part of our life out there.
I know what I was. You know, I'll always represent Circle Bar Racing with my heart, the biggest Texas, and it was a shame not having the Circle Bar 14 truck on the racetrack Sunday, but we as a team knew it was coming. Without financial backing, the truck's not going to be at the racetrack.
How strange was it for you to be out there in something other than the 14 truck?
You know, once you got behind the wheel, they brought a really nice, that Ryan Hackett Racing brought a really nice truck out there, and Travis Sharp was a crew chief, had a good bunch of guys, good bunch of racers working on it, and once you got behind the wheel, it was a good piece to drive. I had a fun day, and I was going for the lead when we wrecked, and racing against Hornaday, Sauter, Crafton, those guys. I mean, when you get back up in the mix with those guys, I mean, it makes racing fun. But it was very strange not crawling in the door of the 14 truck as I've done in the last 14 years.
Now, I understand Tom Mitchell, the man that's behind Circle Bar Racing, says we're not closing up shop here. We're going to keep looking for sponsorship. So all the equipment is still sitting there. I mean, I called earlier the race shop. They answer the phone. Circle Bar Racing, you guys are still there, but you need some money.
That's the bottom line in today's world. I mentioned to a potential sponsor earlier, I said, I'm not asking you for a dollar, but if you give me a dollar, I'll give you your money's worth and then some. And that's our philosophy here at Circle Bar Racing. We have, I think, done our sponsors well. I think if people looked at, our last 3 years with International Truck and Engine, call them. Phone lines are open. Call and have a star company and see what kind of representation Circle Bar Racing and Rick Crawford give them for the last 3 years. Call Milwaukee Tools back in 99 and 2000. We had those guys for two out of 3 years, and then 9/11 hit. So they asked for out of their contract because of the economic situation, and Tom Mitchell let them out. No charges, no early withdrawal or anything. We just let them out being a fair race team. And this race team has a lot to offer our sponsor.
Now, I read a story the other day where you actually were flying your own plane, trying to go into sponsors and talking to them, and I mean, you're out there, you're pounding the pavement left and right.
We're digging. I mean, we're not giving up. Giving up is not my vocabulary. Somebody, you know, even asked me about the R word the other day, and I said, what does that mean, Rick, the race car driver? And I'm not by no means. I'm thinking about winning races. I'm by no means thinking of the R word. So can't, won't, and there's other few words that's not in the Webster's book for me to look at.
It's got to be, you know, somewhat frustrating. You mentioned before about the sponsors that have been on board with you in the past. And I'll say this, just from a media standpoint and paying attention to what you've done and talking to you in the past, you are one of the best to get making talking about the sponsors and pumping them up, no matter who they are, whatever you're talking to anybody. You're always representative on a racetrack. You're usually mixing it up front. You're getting the TV time, which, of course, is really big to get, you know, to get the decals and everything on TV. I mean, and it's great racing out there. The fans love it. So I kind of shake my head and wonder why.
Me too. I'm wondering why it's been such a struggle here lately. You know, I can see the fans spending hard-earned money to come watch us race. I know the ticket sales is down this year. I mean, you can watch races on TV and realize that, you know, the stands are not full. But you know, we appreciate the fans spending hard-earned money in this day and time to come watch us race. I think the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series is putting on a great show for the fans. That's the reason we have such a high viewing audience. Look at our ratings on speed. They've increased for every year in the last since 2003. You know, we have a lot to offer here. I'm looking sometimes right now. I hate to look at myself in the mirror because I haven't delivered. But I, you know, when I do concentrate on something like that, I'm wondering too, how come somebody hasn't stepped up to the plate? How come somebody hasn't sponsored this race team? Because it is a quality product on and off the racetrack, and we're here to compete and try to win races.
Rick, what's the game plan going forward? I mean, without money, there comes a point in time that you have to go, well, you know, we can't spend money we don't have. We can't keep the lights. You still got money going out the door, no matter what. I mean, there has to be a point at some point. You don't want to get there, obviously. But is there a time frame that you really need to come up with something?
Yes, sir. It's like putting an emergency stop on a train. It's going to skid for quite a while before it actually comes to a stop. And that's the way shutting down a race team, or I think any business, is. You really just can't lock the door. But I will tell you that, you know, the longer we wait without a sponsor, the value of the team's going down. You know, Mr. Mitchell has given us the ultimatum to find a sponsor, or you know, here in the near future it could be up for sale, and I hate to see that go, but I understand how it is in today's world and today's business that you know, if you don't have financial backing to keep it going, it's probably going to become a time to have a sale.
Okay, Rick, how does someone get in touch with you? Maybe they know of someone, maybe they're a sponsor, maybe you know, they've got $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, whatever it may be, to sponsor. How do they get in touch with you in Circle Bar Racing?
Well, our phone number here at Circle Bar Racing in Concord, North Carolina is 704-455-1464. I'll repeat that. It's 704-455-1464. I'm on the web at www.rickcrawford.com. And find me, shoot me an email, shoot me a text message. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm reading them, and I'd love to go to work for somebody, and there's nobody prouder to have a sponsor or have a representation than here at Circle Bar Racing, and we can make it happen.
Well, Rick, I hope this little radio show helps out in some way, shape, or form to get you back on the racetrack, because like I said, when I saw on Sunday the 14-1 out there, I was just in shock, and I had to talk with you and hopefully help out in any little way I can.
I appreciate it, Larry. You've been a great help. I'm proud to be on your radio show, and I look forward for 14 Truck to be back on the racetrack soon. So thank you very much.
That is Rick Crawford, Circle Bar Racing. You can always Google him if you want to sponsor him. Good guy. I know a lot of the people at Circle Bar, and Boy, it's just a shame that I'm on the racetrack, but it kind of the way the economy is these days. I'd like to thank my guests tonight, Robin Miller, Sarah Fisher, Chris Dykes, and Rick Crawford. Also, don't forget to check out our Facebook fan page, which is Pit Pass USA, but Larry Henry. I posted some videos from when we were down at Phoenix. You can see my ugly kisser as I talk to some of the guests there. Also, check out my blog. It's called Exhaust Fumes. It's at exhaustfumes.wordpress.com. My latest post, I Have Lost My Mind. You'll notice it when you do read it. Of course, you can follow us at Twitter. Pit Pass USA is our Twitter. And also, you can send me an email, LarryHenry@pitpassusa.com. Like to hear your comments on the show. Also, potential guests. If you've got somebody in mind, or maybe you can put me in touch with someone, love to hear from you. LarryHenry@pitpassusa.com. Don't forget, tomorrow night, race reporters, my good buddy Mike Knight at 7 o'clock Eastern. How about Kenny and Brandon Bernstein are going to be his guests tomorrow night? Talk about a good guest lineup. That'll be tomorrow night. Next week on Pit Pass USA, I know one guy I'm going to have on, John Andretti, who's getting to run at the Indianapolis 500 for his cousin, Michael Andretti, Andretti Autosport, along with Richard Petty, which is going to be great. So John Andretti will be one of the guests next week. Again, I'd like to thank you all for listening tonight. Without you, we wouldn't be on the air doing this show each and every week. Please tell your friends and neighbors if they missed the show, you like tonight's show. Don't forget, you can go to our fan page, the archives, or at iTunes. And we'll see you next week right back here at Pit Pass USA.
Time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.
From IndyCar Racing to PowerBooks, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.